Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Vaccine Dangers, the Threat to Our Pets. I believe that most doctors go to medical school with the hope of healing people and their pets by any means possible once they graduate. Unfortunately, due to controlling interests, namely the vaccine manufacturers and commercial food lobbyists, that ability to heal is severely limited due to a lack of education. Vaccines in conventional medicine cause more harm than good in many cases. If you're new to this information, I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. More and more, we see naturopathic physicians and other holistic-minded healthcare providers speaking out about vaccine dangers, plus the mistakes associated with being disconnected from a natural lifestyle. Joel Salatin of Polyface Farms says, "When our animals get sick, we don't ask what they did wrong. We ask what we did wrong." I love that quote. And that same logic should hold true for people, don't you think? Today, we'll focus on what we can do to keep our pets healthy and happy all the days of their life. Our guest, Dr. Patricia Jordan, says, "Natural rearing and good nutrition are crucial to the development of your puppy or kitten. Decisions made today will have positive or negative effects on your pet as it grows. Should you give your pet a vaccine shot? What is the best nutrition for animals and how do we keep them healthy?" Dr. Jordan and I will talk about these topics plus much more. But before we meet our guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Jordan, when did you first realize that pets were actually getting harmed by vaccines?
Yes, this is not an aha moment that happened with just one incident. Actually, there's an author from Scotland named Catherine O'Driscoll. She wrote a book titled What Your Vets Won't Tell You About Vaccines in 1997. I read that book and I started to wonder. Later, I found another article by Catherine O'Driscoll titled The Science of Vaccine Damage. This explained pretty much what I was seeing in practice, and I started to wonder some more. Turns out that article was a shortened version of her article entitled Pet Vaccination, an Institutionalized Crime, that was published in Next Magazine in 2005. Then she came out with a book called Shock to the System, and that was also around 2005. But it was that book and her previous work that showed me that what was following the vaccinations was pretty much what we were seeing in practice. So all of these chronic diseases, autoimmune diseases, cancer, cataracts, all this oxidative damage was actually the effect from vaccinations. In 2006 to 2008, I practiced in New England, where a particular practice was putting to sleep pets. It was very sad, average age of 5 to 7 years. And they had 2 autoimmune diseases and 1 cancer. I sat back and I thought about this. I said, this isn't right. Why is it happening? So following Catherine's work, I also started to do some research and found Dr. Ayuda's Schoenfeld's work on autoimmunity. And he was describing what I was seeing in practice as well. And this information from him has been out now almost 30 years. But if you do what the recommended vaccine protocols were, you could guarantee that you're going to run into these effects, which pretty much is the chronic disease. It was predictable to find both acute and chronic diseases that followed the vaccination. It wasn't until 2007, for the first time ever, I saw one of our prominent veterinary immunologists, Dr. Ron Schultz, delivered a continuing education lecture. He had 4 pages of vaccine-induced adverse events reported. I knew by then that there was a lot more, but Dr. Schultz also relayed that 1 vaccine was enough to confer viral immunity against infectious disease for at least 15 years and essentially the lifetime of an animal. So it was then I realized, you know, 2007 started to pull out all these disease links and documenting. It wasn't just one moment, but 8 years of aha moments that a conviction came for me that I saw that these vaccine damages were essentially what we're seeing in dispensing medication and working up cases in the veterinary office.
I know this is very hard information to hear when someone first hears it because we're so surrounded by so many people who just say, oh, we're going to go into an office and get a shot, whether it's a human being or for an animal. And the whole process, even though, of course, everybody would dread a needle, really, in reality, it just takes a moment or so to inject this small amount of substance right into the body, and then you walk away for the most part. And that isn't even true all the time, but generally speaking. And I think that inherently is why it's so hard for people to believe that just such a small thing like a vaccine shot that takes whatever seconds to do could have such long-lasting, devastating effects. I'm sure you would agree with that, Dr. Jordan.
Yes. None of us knew, not human, not animal doctors, none of us knew what vaccines were actually doing.
And of course, we add to that, and I call it brainwashing because it really is brainwashing when there are certain people, as I've certainly mentioned at the beginning of the show, and certain agencies that have vested interest in pushing the vaccine agenda, is really just constantly the same message that all vaccines are safe and effective. And they keep repeating it like a mantra. That is brainwashing because it stops people from thinking on their own. If they are okay, great. Show the studies. Let's see that people aren't really getting hurt. But the reality is a lot of people are getting hurt. A lot of animals are getting hurt. That's why we're dedicating a lot of time at the beginning of the show on the vaccines. Dr. Jordan, when did you first see that there was actually a link between the vaccines and injuries in people as well?
When I start looking into the research, research is often done on animals first. I was seeing what I saw in practice happen, so I knew that the link was these animals that get vaccinated then end up with either acute or chronic disease as a result. And it wasn't just immediate. It could be 3 months. It could be 3 years from then. Some of my colleagues found cancer following the vaccination that they received only once, 10 years later. So when I was looking into the research, I was also caught into the I don't know what you would call it, the spiral of this discussion with, you know, what's happening in people and with children and with the autism link. And unfortunately, I was not dissuaded away from the fact that this is a real thing. I found eventually molecular and biochemical markers that proved that the vaccines were the cause of this. Just recently, the most recent paper that I read actually has the gene expression changing, and the adverse events from that particular study was done in the swine flu vaccine, that you could actually now trace the cause and effect. And along with hearing about how much fraudulent data is put out there and the whistleblowing that's going on, and knowing that you're seeing this in practice every day, it makes you understand that the same thing is happening to the people, that's happening to the pets, and to the pets, it's happening to the people. The American Animal Hospital Association is on record saying that the immune system of the mammals, people, is not undifferent from the dogs. And then when I did some more research, I found out that it goes beyond the mammalian immune system, that vaccinated fish. Yes, fish get vaccinated, and when they get vaccinated, they had the same types of problems occurring: autoimmune disease, cancer, cataracts. And then I met up with a fellow that had racing pigeons, and he had a wonderful website that I ran into that said, oh my gosh, we've had good health in our racing pigeons until we started vaccinating. So the people, the pets, the different species, it became very clear to me. I can now read vaccine damage in the children and in people and trace it back to where the immune system became mistuned, where the hit came. And it gripes me to hear anybody try to blame the genes of the victim for the reason that they developed the adverse events, because I know now, and it's something that I surmised when I presented a poster session in 2010, that it's not your genes' fault. The genes, our immune system is reactive. So what's happening is the reaction to the immune assault, which I consider a vaccine to be an immune assault, is the dis-ease. It is the next step that happens after the vaccine's been injected. You see the interaction of the immune system. You see that it affects gene coding and therefore the gene expression.
There's no doubt in my mind, spending years in this industry, now about 30 years in the health and fitness industry and doing hundreds and hundreds of shows, that all of the toxins that are in all of these vaccines given to millions of people and animals is just way too much. It's toxic. We are not healthier than before. You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, just on a people level, how the attitudes have changed throughout the country, and it's not because of the disease. Something like the measles back in the 60s, you know, 70s, you would see little shows like the Brady Bunch, and children would get measles, and the parents in the show would say, oh, it's just the measles, have them go up to their room, we'll call the doctor. Back then, they actually had doctors come over the house for house calls, and the attitude was, no big deal at all. There was not this discussion during the shows like, oh my goodness, was the child vaccinated or not? Now, if you don't get a measles vaccine, it's almost equates to you being a terrorist. You're some sort of whack job if you don't do vaccines for the measles. The mandatory schedules for vaccines have grown tremendously, profiting the vaccine makers. That's the bottom line. That's what's helping them out. I don't see people feeling better. I certainly hear from you that animals aren't feeling better. But I'm curious, Dr. Jordan, how does this vaccine policy actually get created in medicine?
That's a good question. And it was in the late 70s. I just reviewed this information that came to me from a doctor that worked at Texas A&M, Dr. Alice Wolf. And she explained, around 1978, with absolutely, this also reminds me of people and what's happening with them, with absolutely no scientific reason, no evidence-based reason, they just started to say, let's vaccinate them every year. In other words, they were using the vaccines as a hook to get the clients to come in every year. Now, one thing that I did find in my research that I find very interesting is in 1972, there were two memos by the World Health Organization. In the first memo, they were describing disease processes, but in the second one, I was very interested to find that they already knew what was coming after vaccinations. They had, for instance, SPPE, subsclerosing panencephalitis, which is essentially autism, listed as a reaction from vaccinations. So this information in 1972 was, I would say, it was the most astounding thing that I had actually come across, because at the end of it, they asked for more research to be done. And of course, the research was being done on animals. And what they also said was that we can't do this type of research on people. And it's just interesting to me that they reached out for more information to be, the research to be done on animals. And then in 1973, the American Veterinary Medical Association, with no, again, no science and no medicine to back this up, started saying, let's vaccinate the animals every year. So it didn't come from not one practitioner that said that we needed this. It just sort of fell out of the air. The connection that I have to the people that were on that roundtable committee with the AVMA is that they were regulatory, and they were also associated heavily with the corporate industry of vaccine makers. So there you go, Jonathan. That's the answer. The connection came. When I first was in senior clinics, we had a client come in, present an animal for vaccination. It was stark to me because we hadn't learned anything in veterinary school about vaccines, very little about the immune system, and nothing about vaccinology. So when I asked my senior resident, you know, what do I do with this? She explained to me then that when I graduated, they would come by and tell me how to vaccinate. And I said, who's they? She was referring to the drug reps. Now, drug reps do not have a medical license. They are for one purpose only, and that's that they make their living based on commission of how much vaccines they sell. So from there, I found out that all of our vaccine guideline information with our professional organizations, like the AVMA and also the World Small Animal Veterinary Association, they come sponsored generously by heavy educational grants from guess who? The people who are calling the shots, so to speak, are the people that represent the profiteers of vaccination. They are not representing science. They're producing information that's marketing, and what it's doing is being paraded as science. So it's a disguise. And unfortunately, I think this has happened in the human medical schools as well. But the influence from industry is now greater than the influence of true science.
This is what people have to wake up to. It is everywhere. It's pervasive. It's in medical schools. It's in education everywhere. People are being taught what to think and what to say from vested interests, from corporations. We're going to get into the thing that none of the vaccine manufacturers want to discuss at all in terms of helping animals and people prevent disease, right? That's why they say they do what they do. Yes, they make a living doing it, but they make it sound like this is absolutely essential to keep people and pets healthy to do vaccines. Well, there's nutrition. Sorry for those who have a problem with hearing that. There is nutrition and there are other disease prevention strategies that we're going to get into. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Jordan, you were taught about nutrition in veterinary school, or is it like the same as conventional medicine, I wonder?
Yes, conventional medicine. Human doctors don't learn about nutrition either. Even after they had a panel that insisted they increase it, I think it's like one credit hour they get. In veterinary schools, this is the way it goes. When I was a student at North Carolina's College of Veterinary Medicine, I was handed a book that was completely by big pet food industry, and said, this is my nutrition textbook. And right away, even from the very beginning, I said, wait a minute, this seems like a conflict, because this particular company has a great name and a great marketing team, but there's nothing scientific about it. I know that much later I found confirmation of this even in Canada's veterinary school. What they do is let the industry come in, and because they actually have a lot of money that they give to the veterinary schools, and they provide textbooks, and they'll even provide the foods, all commercially processed foods, that this is what they... the veterinary students end up thinking it's the gold standard, and it couldn't be further from the truth. This year, somebody sent me a copy of a contract where I was actually able to see inside where veterinary schools have made partnerships with big pet food industry, and believe me, big pet foods are not there to provide your pet with the most nutritious food available. Their bottom line is they take many ingredients that I think are shouldn't even be offered as pet food and turn it into something that they can get the animals to eat. And that is done with chemicals. They actually have patents on some of these chemicals. And the food is not live. It's not fresh. It's not whole food. It doesn't have enzymes. There's no probiotics. There's nothing in there nutritionally acceptable in my book. But the problem is it's coming in with the good housekeeping seal of approval by the doctor, the veterinarian in this case. So when I actually was able to see the partnerships and what they were doing, it's the same thing that we have happening with the vaccinations, and it's because they're letting corporate sponsorship be what gives the professionals these guidelines. So no, I would say no, we didn't learn anything, and neither do the students up in Canada either. The only thing they learn is what they're marketed, and they marketed, again, under the disguise that this is science or evidence-based medicine.
Dr. Jordan, you're a naturopathic medical doctor for pets. This is your training, but this is where we want to make the shift now. A breath of fresh air, if you will, as to anybody out there who has animals as pets or as part of their family, which is more the way I'd like to put it, I'd like to get from you your perspective about how you see illness and disease, and just blend in there as well some of those best disease prevention strategies that you provide for the people that you counsel.
Yes, and I teach a class on this, and it never happens where the students aren't flabbergasted when they hear what comes out of my mouth. And I am a big proponent of what Hippocrates said, which is leave your crucibles on the shelf, let food be your medicine, and medicine your food. What I see is the most important, and I understand now where the diet comes in, where the nutrition comes in, because good, fresh, whole food nutrition is where those critical nutrients are to counteract the stress, the misattunement, the reaction that happens to your immune system and to your body when you're under threat from an immune assault. So I advocate very first off the same thing that Hippocrates, the first naturopath, did for back in time, which is that you use fresh whole foods. I also think they need to be clean foods. They need to be clean air and clean water. Clean water is important. What we're having happen now is a synergy of toxicity, environmental toxicities, heavy metals, there's genetically modified foods. This is a corruptive way to feed an animal or a person, and I don't think that's going to get you anywhere near health. The fresh air and sunshine and exercise is also important, and also I think that final touch of emotional peace, you know, not having, or you could say unconditional love, you do not need to be causing a lot of emotional trauma to a person or a pet, because we have found out, I have at least through research, that post-traumatic stress disorder and even emotional trauma will have gene expression issues that come about. So the dis-ease is a reflection of how much assault to the immune system and stress to the body. And in the position of not having the critical nutrition that you need to offset that, you're just going to sink deeper and deeper into chronic disease.
If people have time, I know you can download this and listen to it wherever you are, but on naturalhealth365.com, on our podcast page, if you search in our search bar for a podcast I did with Kathy Justice, it was about fluoride in the water and how it absolutely destroyed the lives of some of her prized horses. I mean, it really illustrated the simple fact that if your water is poisoned, your food is poisoned, you know, what medicine is going to help you? We're going to get into a little bit more about how Dr. Jordan really handles her role as a physician when dealing with people and their pets. But I want to thank our sponsor one last time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So, Dr. Jordan, talk to us. I mean, we know that people love their pets, but what's your role now when obviously people are coming to you, they're stressed out, you know, how do you deal with things with them and your role as a physician for these pets?
I think that the best thing I can say is that I've been blessed with the ability to see the path that we need to take. I saw the path that we were on, but only after almost a decade of this stuff coming to the top of the explanation. For me, it was just, there can't be all of this disease around us. It just, you know, with people are trying to do the right thing, until I realized that the right thing was the thing like you were talking about with brainwashing. What we need to do, and I detox everybody, everything starts at the level of detox. And the best detox information is to go back and eat natural, whole foods, clean foods, preferably organic foods. I actually make a big point to try to search out biodynamic foods, and to let that be your medicine, because it will. It's one of the best ways to detox. The animals detox on raw food diets that are appropriate for carnivores. And the other thing that I do homeopathy, and I have found out only after about 10 years of not doing it the right way is that you let the diet clean up about 80% of the problem, and then you can come back and get better results applying homeopathy at that point. And I have many cases. I use alternative medicines because I went and I was certified and almost have my master's in traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. I use herbs. I use acupuncture. I use homeopathy. And I also use a lot of other natural means of trying to get the body settled. But it has to happen after the diet and the water, the air, the exercise and sunshine, you know, takes place. And it does sound strange, but I can now explain it. And I do explain it when I teach the class on natural medicine. So it's not going to come out as expensive as people think. It's just having to rewire their whole thought processes on where health and wellness comes from. It does not come out of a needle. It does not come out of a drug. What I have seen happen in practice is that the vaccines induce disease, and then the medicines that are used, the drugs that are used, what they actually do is cause critical nutrient depletion, they progress chronic disease, and they kill our mitochondria, which is our energy powerhouse cells. So now that I've seen how this works, it's easy, it's simple. We have to go back to natural. That's why the book that I'm writing now, Back to the Garden, is all about how to do the right thing, take the right path from the start, and it has to start with a diet.
Dr. Jordan, I'd love to have you come back when that book is all done. We can dive into it a little bit and give bits and pieces out there. You've been really a breath of fresh air. This is what we need. We need to clean up our environment, do all those major things first. Yes, supplements are nice and all these things, but don't bombard ourselves or our animals with EMF pollution, toxic personal care products, toxic food, toxic water. Let's just clean up these things. Major good things can come from that. I'm sure you would agree. Dr. Jordan, I just want to thank you so much for your time today. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.